Hello, it's me, Lily, a frog. I live in a pond, and I love to tell stories. Thumbelina is a classic folktale rearranged, rewritten, and told here at the Lily Pad by Marlene Werfel. Once upon a time, there was a lovely old woman with long silver hair who had stood gazing at the full moon for 42 autumns, 42 winters, 42 springs, and 42 summers, wishing for a tiny child she could call her own. But a child never came to her. Heartbroken and desperate, the woman decided to visit a witch. The old woman gave the witch all the silver she owned and told her of her true heart's desire. The witch took the woman's silver and, in return, gave her a tulip bulb to plant. The woman brought the bulb home and potted and watered it carefully until a tender green shoot appeared, then a flower stalk, then a bud, and then the loveliest bloom the woman had ever seen. It was the color of moonlight. It seemed aglow from within, and it was so beautiful that the woman couldn't help but give it a sweet kiss. And when she did, the blossom opened up to reveal a tiny baby at the center of the flower. The woman was so happy, and she lifted the tiny child out of the flower and nestled her into the palm of her hand and rocked her gently there. The child was so tiny that she had to crawl across the woman's hand to reach her thumb, which she loved to hold on to and snuggle against, and which she was no bigger than. And so the woman named her Thumbelina. Thumbelina grew to be an adventurous little girl whose favorite thing to do was to play in a dish of water that her mama set out on the kitchen table. Thumbelina was so small that the dish of water was like a lake or a pool to her, and she loved to row across it in a little boat made out of a walnut shell, using two toothpicks for oars. Thumbelina slept in a bed of fresh flower petals, and she drank from a little silver thimble. Thumbelina and the woman were perfectly happy. Though magic paid for with silver never works out quite as one would wish, and late one evening, something terrible happened. The woman left the window open one night, a freshly baked pie cooling in it, and the scent of it drew a big, slimy toad. She looked in the window at Thumbelina sleeping in a daffodil, and she thought, what a lovely creature. She would make a perfect bride for my little son. Quick as an apple falling from a tree, the toad leapt through the window and snatched up the daffodil with Thumbelina sleeping inside. She hopped away with the poor little girl and then swam far out into a deep lake, where she placed Thumbelina on a lily pad right in the middle of the great lake, so that when Thumbelina woke up, she wouldn't be able to run or swim away, being too far from shore. Then the mother toad swam away to tell her son the good news about his new bride, and they got straight to work, preparing a wedding feast of flies, a wedding chamber of mud, and they croaked happy songs about a beautiful maiden marrying a toad prince. When Thumbelina woke up in the middle of the lake, she was so confused and unhappy. She was far away from everything she had ever known and loved, and she wept and wept, terribly afraid. She didn't know how she had gotten on a lily pad in the middle of a great lake, and she didn't know how to get away. She missed the lovely old woman with long-waved hair who loved her and cared for her. When the fish in the lake heard Thumbelina weeping with the purest sorrow, and when they heard the toads singing about a wedding in the evening, they decided to help the lovely little girl escape. They nibbled on the bottom of the lily pad stalk until it could move freely, and they pulled it into a fast-moving stream so that Thumbelina could, sitting atop the lily pad, sail far, far away from the toads. Thumbelina floated down the stream, past new and distant lands, until a gentle butterfly helped pull her to shore. She found herself then in a tall forest of grass and soft moss, with plenty of fruit and nuts to eat. She had many different types of leaves and flower petals to make new clothes from, and with which she made herself a little hammock to sleep in, and an umbrella to protect her from the sun and the rain. She longed to go home to the old woman with long silver hair, but Thumbelina was lost. She didn't know which way home was, and nobody she asked knew how to help her. There was something Thumbelina loved very much about her new home, though, and that was that the air around her was always full of birdsong. Her favorite song of all was the song of the white-throated sparrow. This is what she heard when the white-throated sparrow sang. Thumbelina didn't feel lonely because there were so many birds and butterflies and insects to keep her company. But the evenings began to come more and more quickly, and the air began to grow colder, and soon it was winter time and all the birds and butterflies were gone. All around Thumbelina, snow began to fall, and as the ground turned white, she shivered in her dress made out of flower petals. It wasn't nearly warm enough. Luckily, a cotton-tailed rabbit hopped by as Thumbelina sat shivering under the bough of a spruce tree and offered Thumbelina his brown summer fur. "I don't need it anymore. I grow a thick white coat every winter, and if you were wise, you'd do the same." Thumbelina watched the way the rabbit's rounded back paws kept him atop the snow as he hopped away, instead of sinking down into the deep snow like she did when she tried to walk anywhere. And it gave her a good idea to make snowshoes out of twigs and fibers. Thumbelina was clever and skilled in making clothes, as she and the old woman made everything they ever wore. And so Thumbelina made herself a warm suit using the rabbit's brown fur, and a hat and mittens, too. Still, she needed shelter, and she had none. So she set off on her snowshoes and her new winter clothes to see what she could find. After a long, cold walk through a deep blizzard, when Thumbelina was nearly frozen through, she spotted a little tree stump with a tiny door at the base of it. Thumbelina knocked on the door, and a little field mouse answered. "Oh, goodness, come in from the cold," said the mouse, and she showed Thumbelina where to hang up her fur coat and boots to dry. Then she made her some chamomile tea and gave her a bowl of grains to eat. When Thumbelina was all warm by the fire, the mouse told her that she was welcome to stay with her over the winter in exchange for keeping her cozy cottage clean and for telling her stories and singing songs with her, because the little mouse had plenty to eat, but she was lonely during the long winters all on her own. Thumbelina agreed, and she and the mouse were quite happy, talking and singing and laughing together through the long winter. Once, though, they had a visitor to the little cottage in the stump of the tree, and things began to change. The field mouse made a big fuss about how rich and handsome the visitor was, and went on and on about his black velvet fur coat. She insisted that they serve him grubs instead of grains for dinner, and after the dinner, she asked Thumbelina to help her sing to him. The visitor was a mole, and therefore blind, so that when the mouse told him that Thumbelina was the loveliest creature, he said he'd have to take her word for it. But when the mole heard Thumbelina's sweet voice as they sang, he fell in love with her and told her that they would be married on the first day of spring. The field mouse was very happy for Thumbelina, explaining that the mole was the richest, cleverest, most handsome rodent in all the land, and that she would be very well provided for. Thumbelina was not happy, though. She did not want to marry the mole. While he was nice enough, she knew he lived underground and ate insects, and Thumbelina didn't want to do either of these things. Thumbelina told the field mouse that she didn't want to get married, but the mouse scolded her and told her that she should be grateful for the marriage proposal, and that she couldn't live forever with the mouse, eating up her stores of food and getting in her way. "You must begin making your wedding trousseau immediately, and it must contain many fine linens and laces. I will invite some spiders to help us weave it." So the girl and the mouse and the spiders passed the rest of the long winter weaving together. Thumbelina was happy to have something to keep her hands busy, but she was unhappy about the impending marriage, and she was getting more and more homesick every day. Meanwhile, the mole had dug a long tunnel between his home and the mouse's cottage, and he invited Thumbelina to visit him. He brought her a rotten log to use as a lantern because, he said, they glow like embers in the dark. "Step carefully," said the mole, "and don't be afraid of the bird that has fallen into the tunnel. He can't hurt you because he is dead, The silly thing didn't fly away south with the other birds, and so he's frozen and he's blocking up my fine tunnel. You can just climb over the nasty thing. When Thumbelina saw the poor bird, her heart filled with sadness, because it was a beautiful white-throated sparrow whose song she loved so. She longed to throw her arms around the creature and weep for it, but she knew to go along with Mouse and Mole. But later, after returning home from the visit, Thumbelina couldn't resist sneaking over to spend time in private with the pretty bird. She brought her best fur coat and some linens to wrap around the poor thing, and she put her little head on its chest and began weeping. She poured out her heart to the silent bird, explaining how much she missed her home and dreaded the new one that the mole had shown her, full of grubs and worms and darkness. An unexpected thing happened then. The bird woke up, for he wasn't dead at all, just very, very cold, and the warmth of Thumbelina and the coat and linen she brought revived him. "I must fly away immediately," said the bird, but Thumbelina explained it was the deep of winter, and if he did, he would freeze. He explained that he couldn't fly away when the other birds did because his wing was injured. He remembered flying as far as he could with his flock, but he didn't remember how he fell into the mole's tunnel. "Well, there, there," said Thumbelina. "I will bring you food and water and everything you need to rest and recover." So she did, and they became the best of friends. And when spring arrived, the sparrow told Thumbelina that he would fly away to a warm place where fruit hung on the trees and the sky was full of birds like him. "Instead of marrying Mole, come away with me. You can climb on my back, and I will fly us both away from here." Thumbelina said yes, and the sparrow found that both his wings were strong again, thanks to her good care. They flew over hills and valleys, over rivers and forests, and at last they arrived at an old ruined castle that was full of singing sparrows. The trees around it were full of oranges and mangoes, and the air smelled of peppermint. "This is our gathering place," the sparrow told her, "and you are welcome to stay." The sparrow set Thumbelina down atop a pretty flower near the castle entrance, and she was glad for the rest. There were flowers all around her, and it reminded her, of course, of the beds of fresh flower petals that her mother would make for her when she was a wee baby girl, before Toad stole her away, and Thumbelina fell into a deep, sweet sleep. When she awoke, the flowers around her had bloomed, and there was a tiny prince, every bit as small and fine as she was, gazing at her. "You are the most beautiful lady I have ever seen," said the wee prince, with a golden crown atop a fine head of curls on his head. "Will you marry me and become queen of the flower fairies?" When Thumbelina looked around, she saw that in every blooming flower stood a tiny winged fairy. They were looking at her for her answer. Thumbelina thought that if she wanted to get married, no husband could be better than this one, but in her heart, she did not. She wanted to fly home to see her mother, and she told the prince this. As she did, she began to cry when she thought about how far away she was from home and how she had no idea in which direction her home was. The prince asked her, "What is the first bird you see there in the spring and the last one you see in the fall?" And Thumbelina said it was the snow geese. "Well, then the solution is easy," said the prince. "Just look for a flock of snow geese and follow them north to your home." "But I cannot fly," said Thumbelina. And the flower people brought her the loveliest pair of wings from a Luna moth, and they fastened them to her back with magic. And away Thumbelina flew, home to the woman with the long, silvery white hair. Before she did, she promised to visit the flower fairies every spring at the gathering place of the white sparrows. And everyone was glad, but none so much so as the old woman with long, silvery hair, when the tiny girl she loved most in the world flew in through her kitchen window and alighted on the palm of her hand. Thanks for dropping by the Lily Pad to listen to another story. If you like Tales from the Lily Pad stories, please leave a review at iTunes.